From the time I was, I guess, maybe 5 years old, I admit sometimes that I just was thinking about, when am I going to get out of here? And I was saved when I was 12. I began to be under heavy conviction when I was 7. I've told you this so many times, you know it better than I do. And so when I was old enough, I'd sit there and listen to all that. And Papa Mike was a deacon. He taught me about Scripture and about doctrine and things of that nature. So just as soon as I got into the teenage years, they made me a teacher in a young women's group, and also, of course, and they I taught in there. Now, when I got up to Antioch and I came back there, I had taught Sunday school for many years. And I had taught it while I was in the agency, the National Security Agency. And so when they heard that I had been a Sunday school teacher, they asked me to teach the adult class because the fellow in there was really getting old. And so I taught the adult class at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church in Little Rock. Well, I'm telling you all this because this is what I'm going to start off with here. I heard this preached so many different ways that, you know, they were all good, and I liked all of them, but they weren't heresy or anything. But some of them said it was the soil that was important. Some of them said it was the seed that was important. Some of them said it was both. And I just got confused on it. But I liked it. All of them that preached it, I didn't have any criticism of them because I didn't have enough sense to criticize them. But I will say one thing for the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock. When I got down there, I went to that school because I had learned how to, before I went there, to interpret in context. But I was an amateur at it. And so when I went there, I paid a lot of attention to it, and I learned how to interpret in context. Now I'm going to go through here and interpret this in context. It's one of the first messages I ever preached here. I don't expect you to remember it, but this is what is called an easy message. But it connects with the next two I'm going to teach after it, Lord willing. And so I just want to run briefly through here because you all have heard this so many times, so many different ways. But this is the way I taught it when I first came up here more than 40 years ago. Now the parable is this. It's an earthly teaching. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, it's pretty apparent that in this earthly teaching, this particular those by the wayside, they didn't believe, and they didn't receive it, and they are pictured as going to hell. You have to receive the word. You have to believe it. That's receiving it. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. I've seen a lot of these, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. No fruit at all. Like a bright light, then it goes out. Or at least it dims considerably. And then he says, these are the most disappointing ones. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth. Some of them last for years. Some of them last a year. Some of them last 10 years. Different periods of time. They go forth and are choked. They have roots. And they are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. There's a lot of those. I'm not preaching against them. I don't think any more or less of them than I do of somebody that is being faithful. I've been told I should. But my job is just to present what I believe is the truth in context. And God takes care of that. And so those are the ones that are interesting. But this last one here, I'm going to concentrate heavily on this one because the evangelical movement, which began with John Wesley back in the 1700s, followed by the Great Awakening, which followed that, concentrated everything that was taught in churches or by anybody. Get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved. Get more saved, get more saved, get more saved. Once they get saved, get them out there, get them out there, get them out there, get them out there. Well, I didn't know any different, and that made sense to me. But really, the evangelical movement and the Great Awakening caused us to turn away from the lamp in our life, from the light in our life. And this, when I taught this up here, I included this southern portion of it here. Shirley's not back here, but Shirley could bear witness to that. He says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, who are born with a wicked heart, deceitfully wicked above all things." Say, it says Jeremiah. "Having heard the word, katiko it, kept." It doesn't necessarily mean they kept the commandments perfectly. Nobody's able to do that. But it means they had great value and they hovered over it, and it was the most important thing in their life, like Mary of Bethany. When Jesus said, "But she hath chosen that good thing, kalos, the highest form of good, which shall not be taken away from her." Notice, "and bring forth fruit with patience." The word patience is hypomene. Now, when I came up here, I didn't throw all that Greek at you. I didn't throw any Greek at you. I just told you this word means endurance. And I explained it that way. "And bring forth fruit with patience." Now, I'll tell you what happened with the evangelical and the Great Awakening. Most churches just quit talking about the book of Revelation unless it had to do with some horror that could scare them into being saved. That's okay. I'm not criticizing that. But when it came to the city that God said would stretch from about San Diego all the way to Memphis, and Lord knows you've heard me talk about that so many times, that's just one side of it. It's square, four sides. And it's as high as it is one side of it from San Diego to Memphis. Think how high that would be. It's 3/5 the size of the United States. Why in the world did God put that in there? Why did God keep warning us, you know, about the city? Why did he tell us there were 12 angels at every gate? What do you think they're there for? They know everything you do, when you do it, why you do it, and how you do it. They've watched you most of your life and my life. God put that in there for his children. And once you're saved and you want to do the right thing, the first thing you need to do is to get scripturally baptized. And the next thing you need to do is to observe the Lord's Supper correctly. If you're in a church that doesn't observe it correctly, the word it says that you take it unworthily, that's what that means. You go to some other church as a missionary Baptist, you go to the Hutenheimer Church over in Brunkubuku, and you take the Lord's Supper with them, and you have violated the ordinance of God's statute, and you're dead wrong, and you may get in serious trouble for it. Now, I didn't say a whole lot about this for a long time, but after a while, we're getting close to the end. You better make up your mind where you want to worship, because this church does teach the truth. And we try to do what's right. And so everything we do, it has to do with Christ being formed in us. Now, when Christ comes in us, we get the full Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But our soul needs to grow up. He saves it. He saves our spirit. He seals both of them. That's the heart. The devil can't get in and get them. And they stay sealed. And they go to heaven, period. Now, the real question, and these evangelicals and these Great Awakening folks, they weren't interested in the life after this. They expected God to bless them in this life, to give them financial prosperity, to give them all the things they wanted in this life. And they went to church and decided if they'd go to church and do all that, that God would bless them. You may have more trouble than you'd ever imagined if you try to serve God correctly. That's just the way it is. So it's something you have to decide for yourself. I want you to notice this. No man, when he hath lighted a candle. Now, this wasn't a candle like you know when you light up at Christmas time out on the front porch or something, or candle like we had when I was growing up in the country. Cover it with a vessel, or put it under a bed. You're talking about somebody here that shows something. Which one of these really showed something? The one that produced fruit. So here we are, the Lord's coming soon. And my question is the question that is asked is indicated here. He says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, valued it, thought it was wonderful, wanted to hear more of it, and bring forth fruit with patience. They endure. The others didn't endure. One of them, the first one, was lost. You say, well, I think the others were lost too. That's okay, go ahead. I don't believe that. But the evangelicals killed that. They killed it. Because they just wanted to believe that the last one was the only one went to heaven. Some of them do. Some of them have changed it. He says, but setteth it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. Kenneth, I've seen light in you. I've seen light in Anna Mae Seals. Matter of fact, I've seen light in all of you. Every one of you. You say, well, what's your assessment? It doesn't matter what my assessment of your light is. It matters what God's assessment of it is. And we're going to cover that here this morning in three different ways so you'll understand how important it is after you're saved to observe the things that God tells you to observe. He says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's for believers. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath what? For whosoever hath shown light. What is fruit? It's light. As I look around here, I'm looking at everybody in this church, and I have a lot of opinions about you. And I believe Christ dwells in you. But I'm telling you that some of you, God's going to judge and find you don't have as much light as you think. And one of them is going to be me. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath light, candle, censer with a wick in it, to him shall be given. Given what? Rewards. A large chunk of the inheritance. How much of the inheritance depends on how much you grow spiritually? That's why we teach this church. That's why we emphasize so much in it. We are aware that you're saved when we meet you and talk to you for a while. But you've got an ability now to serve God. You've got an ability to grow spiritually. That's what the light is. That's what the lamp produces. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You say, well, that poor fellow went to hell. No, he didn't go to hell. But this fellow just got saved, came down an aisle, maybe wanted to get his wife back because he'd mistreated her. And he came down and he actually got saved. And then away he went. Nobody ever saw him again. You say, well, that man went to hell. I'm not going to judge the old boy. I'm going to tell you that old boy never produced any light. Or if he did, it was very short-lived. So the evangelical movement and the Great Awakening stopped trying to teach people how to, after they're saved, how to grow and be like Jesus. How to grow and change their ways. How to let Jesus inside them change the way they think and the way they feel. And the only way you can do that is by His Spirit. And His Spirit wrote the Bible. And when Jesus sat there talking to Mary of Bethany, He ended up saying this also that she hath done. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She's probably the only one that believed what he said on the way down by Mark. Told him everything. It just went in one ear and out the other. Now, I don't expect these messages to arouse you and get you to start serving Jesus. Been preaching too long to believe that. But I have been preaching long enough to know this is what I am supposed to do. And so for my sake, because I do care for you, and he put that care in me for you, I'm going to talk about this. Many unfaithful church members, this is number one, many unfaithful church members of true churches will live outside the city when judged at Jesus' judgment seat, found to be unfaithful as he arrives. Here we go. Now remember what I just told you about those lamps. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, you say, oh boy, that's talking about heaven. It is talking about heaven, but it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is that city. The kingdom of heaven is the New Jerusalem. The kingdom of and the city and the millennial reign, that's where Christ will be. But I'm concentrating on the very last final kingdom. I'm concentrating on the New Jerusalem that's eternal, goes on forever. It has a city that goes from San Diego over to Memphis. You say, I wish you'd quit talking about that. I've heard that 5,000 times. I'm not going to stop talking about it because it's real. It's genuine. Now, where do you want to live there? Well, I'll tell you what, it just depends on how much light you put out while you're down here. And you can't put out the light. I mean, you can't manifest it unless Christ grows it in you. If you don't become more Christ-like, you haven't got any light to show. He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about entrance into the kingdom of heaven, be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, you remember Chuck preached here about being espoused to Christ? They were all espoused to Christ. You know that Mary was espoused to Joseph, but they never had any sexual relationships? Do you know she was espoused to Christ? And do you know why he took her? Because she was faithful. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. These are 10 virgins. These are not the normal run of the crop. This isn't the person that ran down the aisle and got saved and never gave any service to him and was nothing but trouble the rest of their lives to them and other people. That's not these people. Which took their lamps. Here we are with these lamps. And went forth to meet the bridegroom. Aha, this is the coming of the Lord. They all went forth to meet the bridegroom. So these aren't ten. These aren't five saved and five lost. It's five that are wise. And five that are, stupid. And five that are foolish. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't have any to take with them. The others did. They had built up a rather large reserve of oil within themselves. And the oil is the personage of God in them. And the oil is something that represents the desire to do right, the desire to grow, the desire to let people see growth in them. You say, could you give us some expressions of what the light is, what the light, the lamp is? Well, how about virtue? Add unto your faith virtue. And how about add to virtue knowledge? And how about to knowledge, how about adding temperance? And to temperance, why not add godliness, which is worshiping Christ correctly? That's what godliness is. That's what we're doing right now, according to the scriptures. And then to temperance, you add patience, hypomeno, endurance. You don't quit. You don't quit. You don't quit. You don't get upset if something happens in a church and run off because you can't stand trouble. Man alive. I wish sometimes as pastor I had the option of doing that. But I don't have that option. You're going to have to vacate the pulpit on me if you ever get rid of me. Unless God moves me and tells me, no, go on, Tom. And he won't whisper in my ear, but I'll know. I'll know. He says, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Okay. Where did they get that oil? You remember when Paul, when they were talking about the Lord, if a father offers, if a son wants bread, does he offer him a stone? If he wants a fish, does he give him a serpent? And he named one other, which I can't remember. But then the last one, he said, if they give good things to their children, how much more do you think your heavenly Father will not give His Holy Spirit to you? That's what He said. You say, well, I ask Him. Every time I start getting a little depressed, I just ask Him. I said, Lord, I need more of Your Spirit, I think. But You know how much I need. I said, would You give me more of Your Spirit? Because I'm getting depressed. And I just talked to Him, and in His own way, He does it. I don't think I could take the full load. But He knows how much I can take and how much I can't take. And so I ask. Now, I'm a very serious student of the Word. And I use the King James translation. That's all I ever use. I once in a while look at something to get when it's really difficult. And I always look it up in the King James Bible. He says, while the bridegroom tarried, he tarried. He didn't come exactly when they thought He would. He didn't come exactly when they thought He would. He tarried. They all slumbered and slept. All of them, all ten. And at midnight there was a cry made, the midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That's the midnight cry. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now I'm not trying to impress you, but I want you to know that we try to understand exactly what the words mean. This word trimmed, I got a reference to it further on down. No, I don't think I do, but it can mean either to trim the wick so it doesn't smoke anymore, or it can mean to smut it out with your finger. In this case, I think it meant to maybe trim it. It can mean either one, but when it's finished, it's gone out. And at midnight, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. They had not pleased God to the extent that God would count them worthy to enter into the New Jerusalem. Now I have to answer for this. Now I'm not worried, because it took me years to figure this out. It took me years to understand what God was saying, and He did it. Are gone out. Now, if you want to believe that's gone out, that's fine. It could just as easily be going out. They still had some oil in there, in their lamp, but they knew they wouldn't have enough for it to last long enough for Him to take them wherever they were going. At least they didn't think it would. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. This works aren't something you can share. Because you had a wonderful mother, and she was super duper, and she prayed for you all the time. If you're a vagabond heathen, don't expect her to pour out some of her oil, because God won't let her. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. You say, well, you can't. You can't sell. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can buy it with you can buy it with God in you growing. You can ask God to help you grow. You can ask God to give you more of His Spirit. You can ask God to help you resist the temptations that you get into. But He says, lest there be not enough for us, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Well, who sells this? Well, it's for sale this morning. Would you like to have more of His Spirit? This is where you pick it up. This is a church. And it's not just a church. It is one of God's churches. We practice the things that God said. We have great confidence in God and zero confidence in ourselves. And we run to Jesus like frightened children whenever we get in trouble, because we know we are not sufficient to do it all by our little old selves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They were worthy. Their lamps. They had more glory. They had more shining. You could see Christ in them. After I've been here all this time, I can see Christ in you. I've watched Him change in you, Paul Turner. I've watched Him grow in you. I've watched Him grow in every one of you. And I'm telling you that I can see it. You say, well, how does that help? You have no idea how much it helps. I didn't do it. God's Word did it. God's Spirit did it. And I rejoice in it. Why? It's kind of selfish. I know I'm doing what God wants. Am I doing everything God wants? I don't know. I don't think so. Because I confess sins that I don't even have when I just said, forgive me of those, Lord, that I'm not even aware of. Because I used to commit sins that I didn't think were sins. So I tell you, this thing, this really humbles you when you realize how helpless you are without God. Afterward came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now listen. If you go to some other places in the Bible where a bunch of people show up, He says, I never knew you. Look it up for yourself. In other places, He says to them, I never knew you. But to these people, He says, I know you not. What's He talking about? He does not know them as being worthy to enter the city. So the truth of the matter is, you better start thinking about it. I think about it all the time. I didn't really surrender to preach till I was 38 years old. And the truth of the matter is, I was so ashamed that is one of the things that's motivated me. I want to make up for lost time. And I want to grow spiritually as quick as I can. And God is the one who causes you to grow spiritually, and you ask the Lord for more of His Spirit, and He says He won't give you a scorpion. He won't give you a stone. He'll give you of His Spirit. Look it up. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, up there where it says gone out, the interlinear Bible, Strong, the one is 4570. It says going out. Now let me tell you something about this Greek. I never said anything to you about it when I first came up here. I didn't. I just told you what the words meant and went on. But I've always used King James. The truth about it is, there's some places here, it doesn't matter which one you use. Whether you use gone out or going out. Either way, if your lamp is going out in this day and time, and I'm talking to every one of you, if your lamp is going out in this day and time, I warn you, the coming of the war over the Middle East is going to occur in the next administration. You say, you don't know that. I know that. I'm not telling you a day, what month, or year, but it's coming, and I've watched this for years, and it's coming. So, what I'm doing is, I'm telling you that these people that didn't have enough oil to get in. They're outside. They're living outside the city. They will live outside the city. They won't live inside it. You say, you don't know that. You think I'm not scared of what I'm telling you? You think it doesn't bother me that I might be wrong? But I am not worried about it, because I have watched and studied and gone all the way back into the 17th century. And what the preachers taught back then was worthwhile, it was good, and it was true. And what they teach now on television is awful. And what is taught in some church buildings that claim to be churches is horrible, because it violates the principles of God's oracles. He said, now let's take a look at this one. I want to finish this one. Notice it just keeps on going. What have we just been talking about? The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Heaven is a whole new universe created by God. And in that new heaven, there is a new heavenly city, and there is a heavenly earth. And the city from San Diego to Memphis is just one little side of it, and it has four sides, and it is as tall as it is high. You say, well, that's like Alice in Wonderland. No! That's what God is able and capable of doing, and that's what He has prepared for us. You want to claim it, or you want to run away from it? People run away from true churches because they are going to have trouble. You think the devil is going to let us get away with correctly worshiping God? You say, God will protect us. I know that. I accept that. I believe that. However, what's He going to reward us to if we don't stand as strong in the faith, and if we run away from trouble and everything about it? We're supposed to stand up for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's not an easy task. He says, the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about entering into the city, is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another five talents. He made 5 talents, he was given 5 talents. Well, it would seem logical that he would get 5 talents in reward. Or did it? And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that received 1, hid his Lord's money. And after a while, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gain besides them 5 talents more. Now, you would think that Jesus would say, now, I'll give you another, I'll double that. His Lord saith unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter there unto the joy of the Lord. Notice, he got 5 talents, but he was made ruler over many things. Now let's take a look at the fellow that only had 2 talents. Now, how many talents do I have? If I have talents, I'm not talking about talents like you do this, but those talents that are there actually represent gold pieces, but actually they are what you have been given by God in order to be able to show your light that God put in you to the world. So this one, he received 2 talents and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Wait a minute here. He just got 2 things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. God's an equal opportunity employer. And if the guy used what, or woman used what talent he gave her, the ability she had, which represent gold coins, and if she actually, he or she actually did that much, she gets the same reward as the other one. But I can show you in another place where it's not quite that way. And when that happens, I can explain to you why. That's why he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. David Robinson, who was one of the best teachers I ever had, he said, I would rather be correct in the scriptures than president. Lord, I sure would too. I wouldn't want to be president right now. I wouldn't want to be up in Washington, D.C. You couldn't pay me enough money. And furthermore, we've only got a short time here. They say, global warming, global warming. There is no such thing as global warming. You say, oh, you just don't know, Brother McMurray. I'm a scientist, and I'm not alone. But let me tell you why it doesn't matter. You think global warming is going to come in within the next 5 years? I don't. And they don't either. So the thing is, we're not going to have any global warming because the rapture is going to occur eventually and we'll go up and it'll be long before global warming. That's supposed to be a long time away. He says, then he said, then he which had received the one talent, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed, and I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. If he had used that one, the Lord would have said also, thou hast been faithful in a few things. But he said, enter into the kingdom of joy. He used what he had. He didn't show it. He hid it. He hid it. I know a bunch of secret Christians. I know a bunch of them. And I think some of them are saved. Maybe most of them. Lo, thou all that thou hast is all. Behold, there thou hast all that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I have received mine own with usury, with interest. If he just walked around and somebody said, are you saved? And he said, yeah, I'm saved. And but he didn't ever work in the church. He didn't do any of that stuff. He's going to be one of the saved outside the city, way out there in the distance. But the thing here is, God's an equal opportunity employer, and God's fair in everything he does. And then at my coming, I should have received mine with usury, interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. Now there's something. The guy got 10 talents. He used all 10 of them, and he gave him, and he ended up with 11. Let me tell you why I think that's true. I don't have 10 talents, but if I had 10 abilities that God gave me, and I actually used all 10 of them, then wouldn't I deserve the one talent that this guy hid in the earth? It's harder to exercise 10 talents. I don't have 10 talents, but I've got a few, maybe just one, but I'm not hiding it. Here I am. For unto every one that hath shall be given. That sounds just like the one we talked about with the seed in the earth, doesn't it? For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. What? The ability to serve God in heaven. The ability to serve God outside the kingdom city, he'll be taken away from him. It'll be taken away from him because he hid it, never did manifest it. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. That is exoterios skotos. And all it means is a place of less light. And I'm not a new lighter. It means a place of less light. And all over the earth, in the final kingdom of with the New Jerusalem, that thing goes up. The picture, a pyramid. It may be square all the way up, but I think it's a pyramid, and it goes all the way up. Picture a city that had a pyramid, and in the middle of it was something as long as along the sides, and it went up there, and it went up a distance from San Diego to Memphis. And it's brilliant. Sit down and read that thing. Look at the colors. Look at all the colors that are shown. Just look at them. They're amazing. There it is. What's going to happen to this guy? He's going to be cast outside the city. There won't be as much light out there. How far away? I imagine quite a way. You say, well, when will this gnashing of teeth occur? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping and gnashing of teeth is at the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody likes to think that everybody's going to be happy there. And nobody's going to get rebuked or anything. God's not going to bring out any whips. But there's going to be a lot of embarrassed people there who heard the truth and would not respond to it. Many church members live unjust and filthy lives. Get used to it. I grew up in missionary Baptist churches. Some of the filthiest, most ungodly things I've ever seen in my life were performed by church members, some of them deacons, and some of them preachers. You say, well, they weren't saved. Listen, I don't believe that. Most of them were, probably. Revelation 22, 11, 16. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. God says, I'm going to catch you if you do that. And I'll come when you don't expect me. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. That's the way I want to be found when Jesus comes. Well, I have his righteousness, but I want to be adding to that righteousness the desire of his spirit by his spirit. And he that is holy, hagiso, set apart, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. That quickly is an adverbial modifier used as a descriptive adjective. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Then he identifies himself as God. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There is only one God. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Where is that? That's in the city. That's inside the gates. That they, tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. What else is in there? The tree of life is in there. Christ is in there. The water of life goes out. The leaves go out into the city. You have 12 gates, and there's an angel at every gate. You think they're just there for ornamentation? They're there to make sure that nobody goes inside it that doesn't belong there. For without are dogs. You see, those are not saved people. They are saved people. And dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. God saves by grace. Lots of people deteriorate after they get saved. They end up in prison. They do horrible things. But God is grace, and God is love, and God is mercy. And if they call on his name to save them, he does it. I, Jesus, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. That's it. Well, I made it on time. You have a whole 2 minutes.